Well, are you ready to pray with me as we prepare to study the scriptures? Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvata v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Blessing and breakthrough are connected, and other people will get their breakthroughs when you are walking in the power of blessing. You see, when you walk in the power of blessing, other people will get their breakthroughs. Now, here's the good news, and you will get yours too. You can be used as one of God's breakthrough men or breakthrough women, breakthrough boys and girls, for that matter. Okay, so size up the person next to you. Determine, are they a man or a woman, a boy or a girl? And then figure out what to say to them, something like, you're called to be a breakthrough man, a breakthrough woman, breakthrough man. Just speak it like, breakthrough man, you're a breakthrough man, breakthrough boy. Some of you in the sanctuary today, your heart's actually leaping right now because your heart's confirming that you have the calling to be a breakthrough woman, a breakthrough man. And how do you do your part so that others will get their breakthrough? Let me give you some simple ideas. One, you pray for other people and their needs. Second, you serve other people and their needs. Third, you give generously. When you give your tithes and your offerings in the house of the Lord, you give them fully and faithfully, it brings breakthroughs because the Lord uses what we give together to bring ministry through this congregation. When you show hospitality to other people, you bless them and put them in position for their breakthrough. You can do it with your family and friends, with your colleagues and your neighbors, and here in the congregation. God wants to use you to be a blessing to other people, and that means you are actually a key for someone else. So can you smile at that person sitting near you and say, you're a key. You are a key. You're a key for someone else. And when you bless other people, you're going to receive breakthroughs yourself. Now, here's the thing. Lots of people want to be a breakthrough man or a breakthrough woman, but they're not sure, what do you do? How do you do this? How do you live in such a way? And I want to point you to one of the great passages in the scriptures that will equip you to be a breakthrough man or woman, Isaiah 58. You see, breakthrough men and women need to learn how to operate. They need to learn how to think, how to live in the spirit, and how to live in the spiritual economy of God. You know, God's economy doesn't have inflation. Thank goodness. It doesn't have deficits. It doesn't even have taxes. God has a different economy. Breakthrough men and women have to learn to pray, to fast. We have to learn to connect our fasting and prayer with specific actions and attitudes of the heart, because it's not just fasting, it's fasting with purpose. It's not just following a certain method, it's having the right heart. And Isaiah 58 captures this. In answer to the complaint, why do we fast and we don't see breakthroughs? Here's the answer from the Lord, Isaiah 58, verse 6, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness? Now, you would think that it would be to not eat, to not drink. But the prophetic focus is not on the ways and means that you actually engage in fast, because there are many different ways. There's a Yom Kippur fast. There are fasts in mourning. There are fasts when you need cleansing. There are like Daniel fasts. There are many kinds of fasts. There's the purpose, not the method, is the prophetic emphasis here. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. This is the focus. It's on the result that God would use you to bring freedom to other people, to use you, that there would be a breakthrough for someone who's oppressed. And you'll see in Isaiah 58 that there's a connection between the things mentioned here and those things that are mentioned in Isaiah 61, the very passage Yeshua read from at synagogue that Yom Shabbat morning from the Haftorah, when he says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me to bring good news to the poor." So Isaiah 58 and Isaiah 61 are connected to the actual proclamation and the actual life of the new covenant and the good news that's associated with it. Verse 7, this is the fast, to share your bread with the hungry. Isn't that interesting? It's not just a matter of you not eating, it's someone else being able to eat. And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out. When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own family. You see, there's such balance here. It's not that you're just focusing on other people. You're also focusing on those who belong to your family and are with you. Then verse 8. This helps you really see the principle at work that I was describing earlier. Then your light. Say that with me. Then your light. Then your light will break forth like the morning. You see, when you align yourself with God, when your heart's aligned with him and your purposes are aligned, you're not just going through religious rote and repetition, but you join yourself to the heart of God and you join your actions to your heart. And you have sincere kavanah, intention that is complemented with action. Then not only do the people get blessed who you want to see blessed, but your light starts breaking forth too, like the morning. Your healing will spring forth speedily. How many people could use a speedy healing? How many of you have loved ones that need a speedy healing? They can't wait 2 more years, 3 more weeks, 10 more days. They need a speedy healing. And your righteousness will go before you. Well, if you're like most people, you say, well, my righteousness, if it goes before me, I'm in trouble. But you know, to understand this, you have to see the second part. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. This is not about how righteous you are personally. It's your righteousness. Adonai Tzidkenu, the Lord, your righteousness will go before you. And the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Messiah in you, the hope of glory. The spark of Mashiach in you is at work. And God says, when you allow his fire to be burning in you and his passions and his holiness to ignite you, he'll go in front and he'll come from behind. A lot of us could use protection in both directions. And then you will call, and the Lord will answer. And you'll cry, and he will say, Hineni. Throughout the scriptures, throughout Torah, we see that God calls out to people. He calls out to Abraham, and Abraham says, Hineni, here I am. He calls out to the patriarchs. He calls out to the prophets, and they say, Hineni, here I am. And God says to all you Hineni people, you'll call to him, and he'll say, Hineni, here I am. What a promise. Great promise for breakthrough men and breakthrough women. Well, it keeps going. Let's jump to verse 10. If you extend your soul to the hungry, and you satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light, say that again with me, then your light will dawn in the darkness, and your darkness will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you continually. Anybody have big decisions to make? Anyone? Okay. Here's the promise for breakthrough men and women. The Lord will guide you continually. Isn't that good? You know, we men, need help. It's hard for us to ask for directions. When we're lost, our testosterone says, keep going. Ladies, isn't it true? Men can drive for hours and hours in a condition of lostness rather than stop and ask for directions. Thank goodness the Lord says, I'll guide you continually. And we're just hoping he'll guide us while we're lost. Verse 11 continues, he'll satisfy your soul in drought. When you are in an environment that is hostile and negative and not helpful, he'll satisfy your soul. And he will strengthen your bones. And you'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters don't fail. You see, this is the promise to the breakthrough man, to the breakthrough woman, even the breakthrough child, that God will use you and he'll do things for you, but he's asking for something. He's saying, I will bless you. Do you understand that? You be a blessing to other people. Be a blessing. That's his promise. And sometimes, as Yeshua teaches us, you have to take the initiative and go first. That's why in Luke 6, verse 38, we looked at it last week. We'll look at it again today. Yeshua says, give and it will be given to you. Sometimes you have to take the first step. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be given to you. For with the same measure you measure, it will be measured back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, which speaks of the tithe. Now, what is tithe in Hebrew? What does it mean in Hebrew? Tenth. Not 2%, 4%. 10%. Can you say 10%? Bring the whole 10% into the storehouse. This is Malachi 3:10. So that there will be food in my house, physical food, spiritual house. And I believe the storehouse here is the congregation. And then the Lord says, test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. The same principles at work that Yeshua is talking about, and that is you give. In faithfulness. You give because God has already been faithful to you. And you don't try to figure out how to get by doing less. You set your heart on being full in your response to the Lord. And Yeshua says, given it will be given to you in good measure, because with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. You give the whole tithe, and the whole blessing will come to you. Well, what's the whole blessing that Yeshua is talking about and Malachi is talking about? And that is running over blessing. More than enough blessing. Is anyone in favor of having more than enough? This is how God wants us to see ourselves. That when we walk with him and we live with him, his blessings are part of our life, and we have more than enough so that we can help those who don't have enough. Test me in this, Malachi, and see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. You see, I think it's powerful. I remember when I first came to the Lord and I learned this. I said, Lord, I want to give. And I saw what Jacob said, that I'll give a tenth, Lord. And so I said, I'm going to give a tenth, Lord, at least. Then I started meeting people who said, well, I'm giving 12%. And I thought, golly. And then I met some people who blew my mind. They said, I've decided to live on the tenth and to give 90%. And I know people who have actually done that. People who have a gift of wealth and they don't want to hoard it for themselves. They see a purpose in giving greatly, and God gives them much to give. So I want to encourage you, let this get into your heart and let it work for you, because breakthroughs are coming to people who walk in God's word regarding breakthroughs. Catch up your ties if you're behind. Test God in this. Test him. That's not my advice. That's his advice. You see, I would not put him in that position. But I'm amazed that he puts himself in that position. And he says, you test me in this and see if you give your whole tithe, will I not give you more than enough? So sometimes the Lord wants to bless you, but sometimes he wants you to take the first step to give, to be a blessing, to bless someone else, to give for the sake of someone else, and then even to sacrifice for someone else, knowing that God will take care of you. You see, Joseph walked in this power of blessing. He decided to take to heart God's word about blessing that had been given to his father Abraham, his grandfather Abraham, and his father Isaac, and his father Jacob, to walk in that. Even though he was physically separated, emotionally separated from them, he chose to walk in the promises of Abraham. God said, be a blessing, and Joseph decided, I will be a blessing. When I'm a slave, I'll be a blessing. When I'm unjustly thrown into prison, I'll be a blessing. I will be a blessing. Imagine the impact you could have at work with that boss you don't like if you decide to be a blessing to that person. Imagine those of you in school who have rotten teachers and you're complaining about your teachers. What if you decide to be a blessing? Joseph did. Be a blessing. And God says, I will bless those who bless you. And Yeshua says, give and it will be given to you. See, there's power in this. When Joseph was in prison, he walked in the power of blessing and he blessed other people. Now, he did not have money and he did not have stuff. He didn't have a house. The clothes he wore, the food he ate was given to him as a prisoner, and yet he was able to be a blessing to other people. So never say to yourself, I don't have the resources. Joseph had nothing, and he was a blessing. And Joseph did not know how his own story would turn out. He did not know when and how things were going to work. He had no way of knowing, for instance, that a breakthrough would come to him through the power of blessing. He just knew God told him to be like this. And I want to remind you something. It's important to remember this, that the very blessing that he gave when he interpreted dreams when he was in prison that brought him a breakthrough, he didn't know that he was going to get out of prison this way. He just knew he needed to be a breakthrough man. Let me take a few minutes and remind you of that life-changing episode that begins the breakthrough for Joseph. Two other prisoners have dreams. And Joseph interprets their dreams with incredible accuracy. They have similar details in their dreams, but Joseph sees the meaning very differently for each one of them. And one of the prisoners, Pharaoh's chief butler, was released from prison just as Joseph's dream interpretation declared. And then that man, the chief butler, was the one who God used to bless Joseph. But how much time did it take for that chief butler to have his freedom before he remembered? 2 years. I bet during those 2 years, Joseph was wondering. This guy said he was going to say a word for me. But you see, it wasn't time. It wasn't time because the breakthrough that Joseph needed was not just getting out of jail. He needed a greater breakthrough because God had a purpose for him that was much higher than getting out of jail. Sometimes the only thing you think of when you're in jail is I want to get out of jail. But you've got to think beyond that. What will my new life be? Sometimes when you're in a valley, you're thinking, if I could just get out of this, everything would be okay. But you've got to get a vision. What is it that God wants you to be and to do? So, 2 years later, the chief butler is back working for Pharaoh for those two full years. And Pharaoh has a dream, and his the usual suspects in Pharaoh's court, you know, what I like to call the wise guys. The wise guys cannot interpret his dream. They don't understand it. And the chief butler remembers there is a Hebrew in prison. He's still in prison. Who can interpret dreams. He's got a gift from God. So he gives his recommendation to Pharaoh. This is where we pick up Genesis 41, verse 9 through 13. The chief butler spoke to Pharaoh and he said, "Oh, I remember my faults today. Pharaoh, do you remember 2 years ago when you were angry with your servants and you put me in jail in the house of the captain of the guard, me and the chief baker?" The chief baker's dead already. You remember he got hung. "Well, when we were in jail, we each had a dream one night, he and I, and there was a young Hebrew man with us there in the prison, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we told him our dreams, and he interpreted our dreams for us, and to each man he interpreted according to his own dream, and it came to pass just as he interpreted for us." And that's the way it happened. And you see, Pharaoh had a dream. He knew it was spiritually significant, but he could not get it interpreted. And so only on the basis of the chief butler's recommendation, Joseph's brought out of prison and stands in front of Pharaoh, hears the dream, and interprets the dream. And it was a breakthrough moment for Pharaoh, because now he understood what the next 14 years would be like for Egypt. It was a breakthrough moment for Joseph, and a great opportunity. And Pharaoh says to Joseph, "So what do we do with this interpretation about 7 years of plenty and 7 years of lack?" And Joseph says, "You need a wise and discerning person who can help you manage all of this." And Pharaoh looks around at his wise guys and he says, "You know, Larry, Curly, and Mo, you guys are out. None of you guys are going to do. Joseph, you're the wisest one." Listen to these words. Genesis 41, verses 39 through 41. Pharaoh says to Joseph, "Because God has shown you all this, I know there's no one as discerning and wise as you. You will be ruler over my house, and all my people will be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you." And Pharaoh says to Joseph, "See, I've set you over all the land of Egypt." That is the promise of the power of blessing working in Joseph's life. Now, Joseph could have been tempted about interpreting dreams. He could have said, "Listen, I tried this dream interpretation stuff before. Look what happened to me when I told my brothers my dream. That's what got me in this place in the... This is why I got into trouble, because I tried to do that stuff." He could have said, "No more dream interpretation for me." I see believers do that. God gives them spiritual gifts. The spiritual gift makes room for them for trouble. Brings them into some kind of trouble. And they don't understand it wasn't actually the gift, it was the lack of something else that was associated with it. You see, Joseph was moving in the gift, but he didn't have the attitude of blessing. He didn't tell his brothers the dream because he wanted to bless them. He was arrogant, he was proud, he was immature. And he had to get a new attitude built into him. And that attitude did develop. And by the time Joseph is in prison, it's in him. And it brings a whole different perspective to him. It enables Joseph to be able to say later that even though other people have plans that are meant for evil, God works to turn those things around and to bring blessings and salvations out of them. You see, this is how breakthrough men and women think. They say, "Oh, I see what the devil is wanting to do, what the adversary wants to do, but I know what God wants to do. I see what people are trying to do, but you know what? I know what God wants to do." And God knows how to break through. Now, in these last few days, I've been hearing about breakthroughs from some of you. Travis and Kathy Dexterhouse got a breakthrough. Some of you know them well. And if you do, you would know that without a medical intervention, they can't have children. They did have a medical intervention, and their two children were born because of that. But without further medical intervention, the doctor said to them, it's a million to one chance that you'll ever have kids. You won't have kids without medical help. And so they just reconciled themselves to that. But around Yom Kippur, they and their family started praying. Fran and Brian Stone, they're all one household. Fran and Brian are Kathy's mom and dad, Travis's mother and father-in-law. They started praying because they thought God wants to do something good for them. But, you know, they didn't see something good emerge, really. In fact, Travis last night came up with Kathy and shared with the congregation and said, actually, things started getting pretty bad rather than pretty good. And he said that his wife started, like, being physically sick, and she became a little irritable, and she had no motivation, didn't want to do anything. It got to the point, Travis said, that the family was thinking of sending her to me for counseling. They're thinking, boy, you know, we're expecting good, but she just needs counseling. Well, during these 40 days of good news, they started praying for other people. Started praying for women who can't have children and don't have children, that they would be able to have children. And then a few days ago, Kathy had this thought, you know, maybe I'm just not sick. She got a pregnancy test, and you know what she found? She had conceived. They weren't praying in this direction. They decided, well, let's go to the doctor. So they go to the doctor. They do an ultrasound the other day. And the doctor says, well, you've got a 10-week-old baby in there. 10 weeks. The whole time she wasn't feeling good, it wasn't because she had a little problem. It's because God had been blessing her and she didn't even know it. You see, the prophets say, before you call, he will answer you. They didn't even think to call. God initiated the call. And so they stood up here last night and they were thanking God for their miracle baby. I want to ask Paula Fleming to come up here. She's got a good report of how God is working in her life. Paula, come on up. Help yourself.
I was sharing with Rabbi the other day that I had been going through a valley of sorts. I felt completely disconnected from God. I could not see him moving anywhere in my life. I felt really distant from him. It was something that hadn't happened to me in a very, very long time, and it was a place I didn't want to go back to. When I had been there, it was a result of a lack of relationship with him, or a lack of understanding of how to be in relationship with him, and I did not want to digress to that again. So I kept praying, and I was like, God, what's wrong? You know, why am I, you know, is there some sin in my life that I need to repent of? And he didn't show me anything. So I just kept praying and doing, you know, everything I knew to do. And this was going on for a while, and last month, being November, the month of Thanksgiving, several of my friends I had seen were doing something on Facebook where they were doing a month of blessing, a month of Thanksgiving rather, and every day they would post something that they were thankful for. And I decided I wanted to do that. I had seen one friend doing that last year, and I thought, what an awesome thing to do. So I decided I'm going to do that this year. So I picked it up, and I started doing this, and there were days when, even though I have so much in my life to be thankful for, I have so much, I have, you know, everything I need has been provided to me, not everything I want, but I have everything I need. I have two wonderful, beautiful children. I have the opportunity to be home and homeschooling them and pouring myself into their lives, and how can I have trouble? I'm having trouble finding things to be thankful for. Not that I was having trouble finding things to be thankful for, but I was just having trouble being thankful. And but I pressed on, and I thought, you know, how can I not thank God with all that he's given me? There's no way I can't not thank him, regardless of how I feel. So I pressed through and managed to do it every day. Missed a day or two here and there, but caught up the next day with two thankfulnesses. And so I got to the end of the month. I finished that out. And the very next day, Rabbi had mentioned last week about how a couple of weeks ago, he had asked Aaron and me to come up with several others and to pray for people who needed breakthroughs. And I thought, oh my gosh, Lord, you're asking me to come up and pray for people who need healing. I'm perfectly happy to do that, but that's something that I really struggle with. I struggle with having the faith to do that, and I struggle with even knowing how to pray for that. But I just said, okay, Lord, you know, here I am. I'm willing to do this, but you have to show me how to pray. And so we came up, and the first people who came up to us was a couple who, as Rabbi mentioned last week, they were a couple who, they're in a situation that Aaron and I have walked through, and we saw the Lord just pour out blessings on us. It was just amazing. And so when they started to share with us what they needed prayer for, I was so excited because I knew why God had Rabbi call us up to pray, that he wanted us to pray for this couple because we had been there and we knew how to pray for that. And I was so excited. And that was the beginning of my breakthrough. The day after I finished this month of thankfulness, here I am the very next day experiencing my breakthrough. And the breakthrough wasn't about me. It was about being able to minister to other people. And I could see how God, you know, even though it wasn't necessarily something for me, he blessed me through that by showing me that, yeah, I'm still here and I'm working and I'm going to use you. So I'm really grateful to him for that.
Paula had to go the full 30 days. Catherine Swanson, I want to ask you to come up here and to share what you're going through. Different people are having different experiences. Yeah. Perfect timing. Yeah. Hello? No. It's
I had nothing to do with that. Okay, so Rabbi asked me to come up and share a text message that I sent to him on Tuesday. So it starts out, there is a serious surge of favor up in here. I originally wanted to start out with dude, because that's what happens when you marry a surfer. But I edited that part and just said, there's a serious surge of favor up in here. Just got a free day off work, and my clients are getting job opportunities. I think my 40 days just started, or the breakthrough is on the way. Hallelujah. You know, this is really changing my perspective on this season. I thought and was becoming okay with that I was supposed to intercede for others and my blessing would come later. I guess God blesses people on day 30-something, too. It's really providing me hope in spite of discouragement in some areas. So that's just really what I have been going through in this 40 days of breakthrough, was just really feeling like that my purpose was to pray for and intercede for others and for their breakthrough, and that it wasn't necessarily about me and my breakthrough, which I think you need to be okay with, that that's what the Lord has for you in that season. But on that day, I had just gotten done meeting with a client. I work with survivors of domestic violence and help them find employment, and I had just met with a client that I had met with for a long time, and she was just saying how she was just really going through it. And we met, we're like, okay, you know, we just got to keep going. And, you know, she's like, I just got to keep trusting the Lord. And I got back to the office and had a series of emails in my inbox. And one of them was from one of our major employer partners here in the community. And it was about a job for her. And so she was able to take an assessment, you know, like those online pre-employment assessments. And, you know, is setting up herself for an interview. And then I also had an email that instead of a like a holiday bonus, a financial holiday bonus, they were giving us the day before Christmas, the 24th, off, which, because I was a newer employee, I didn't have a lot of paid time off, and my husband and I are going up to Virginia that week to be with family. And so it was like the Lord heard a need that I didn't even articulate to him, but he was blessing me in that way. And it was just really cool that all happened like in one afternoon, and it really helped me change my perspective that, okay, I'm just interceding for others, but that your breakthrough can come, like Paula was saying, even after you think it's the season is over. So thanks.
Thank you, Surfer Dudette. I'm not sure what the female is of dude. What is it? Really? Back in my day, it was just doodah. We're going to have a time at the end of the service now to pray for people who do need breakthroughs, who want to be used with the power of blessing to bring breakthroughs to other people who need healing, who need provision, whatever it is. I want to ask some folks to come down here. Paul and Aaron Fleming, will you come? Chris and Catherine Swanson, will you come down too? And I see Vanessa. I don't see James. His back? Okay. Can you come down, Vanessa? Thank you. And I also want to ask Rick Gray and John Slayton to come. And Brian and Deanne, can you come too and pray for people? And anyone who needs prayer, who needs a breakthrough, whatever it is that you need, and what's in your heart is you want to see God move in your life or for the sake of others, I want you to come down. As we conclude the service, come down and let others pray for you. You can have more than one person pray for you. You can say, well, I got prayed for last week. Well, good. Get prayed for again this week. Because you want to keep praying and take advantage of the opportunity of having many different people praying with you and for you. And God will move and He will move powerfully. This is a great time. So, There's one more thing I want to tell you before we close the service. Next weekend, Friday and Saturday, I'm going to have a special message, a Jewish message about Christmas. And you won't get it anywhere else. I mean, sometimes Messianic congregations, we don't know what to do with Hanukkah and Christmas, and I'm not really a Christmas person, but I like to think about Yeshua every day and at all times. And so I've been asking the Lord to give me a message that's useful not only to us, but to our community and to the greater world at large, because, you know, our podcast is reaching now hundreds of thousands of people all over the earth. And we want to be a blessing to them. And I also want to give you a reason why you can bring someone with you who has questions and wonders about this Messianic Jewish thing. Whether it's Jewish friends or family or Christian friends and family, the message will be a friendly and useful message. And don't worry, it's not one of those, you know, attack Christmas messages. Some of you are smiling. The others are like, well, that's what I was hoping for. And it's like, no, you're not going to get that from me. You can get that from someone else, not from me. Because God's called me to build up and not to tear down. And to see how faith works in many different settings, to be sensitive to that. So I want to invite people who are here, and I want to invite you to bring friends and family to take this next Friday and Saturday as an opportunity to bring someone else who also needs a breakthrough in their life and the power of good news. And I have like this hope that on Saturday morning there won't be any empty chairs, that you will find people who need some good news. And you'll bring them, and we'll actually have a great time of equipping and encouraging people in our community together. So I want to ask Eric Painter to come up. He's going to close the service with the Aaronic benediction, Eric and Anya. And I'm going to slip out. I've got to go see my family in Richmond, Virginia. So I have to head out now. So God bless you. And those of you that want prayer, please come on up.
Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panem velecha vichunecha. Yisa Adonai panem alecha ve'yasem lecha. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, Sar Shalom. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.